Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. The affirmation from the book of Revelation with which we begin our worship service today, the affirmation of the multitude gathered in glory everlasting, the affirmation of the people from across the world, all over the world, of multiple tongues, multiple nationalities, the people of God gathered from all over the world into heaven, into glory, standing before the throne, making this proclamation that salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and unto the Lamb. This affirmation is one which rings throughout the church. Affirmation is one which the church proclaims and has proclaimed for centuries, for 2,000 years. There are so many people who seem to believe that salvation is their property. They own salvation. It is their gift to bestow. There are many Christians who seem to believe that they can decide who gets into heaven. They can decide who is a member of the family of God. They can decide who belongs to God. But this affirmation, this proclamation, this word from the book of Revelation, this word from the multitude gathered at the throne proclaims that salvation belongs to God. God gets to decide. God gets to decide who is part of the family of God, who is part of the church, who is part of the kingdom, who is part of the body of Christ. Salvation belongs to God. The good news, my brothers and sisters, for us all on this Pentecost Sunday is that salvation is the property of God, the gift of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the presence of God. Salvation belongs to God, and God gives it to whom God wills. God coming in the form of Jesus Christ, God coming in the power of the Holy Spirit, God coming to live with us, to walk the streets with us, to speak with us and through us, to express the love that God has for the world through our hands and our lips, in our giving, in our serving, in our praying, in our praising. God comes to be with us to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation belongs to God. So what happened on that day, on that Pentecost Sunday? What happened on that day, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus? What happened on that day? The disciples were gathered in the upper room. The disciples were gathered away, quiet, in hiding at first. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And many are amazed at what happens. It was like a rush of wind, a life-transforming breath of God into their lives. And they were changed instantly. They were changed. They were transformed into not only, no more just disciples, but apostles, sent ones, ones who were called to come and proclaim the good news. And then God gave a gift, a very special gift, a gift that has caused trouble down throughout the church, throughout the centuries. More division and more fighting takes place over the question of the gift of tongues. You know, that's a real shame. A wonderful gift of God, a powerful gift of the Spirit, to proclaim the gospel without regard to language, to proclaim the gospel in the language of all, through actions, words, deeds, has been perverted by human politics, by the church. I mean, the church sometimes, my brothers and sisters, majors in this kind of thing. We as the body of Christ do wonderful things, and then we slip up and we take a wonderful, beautiful gift, like the gifts of the Spirit, like the gift of tongues, and we make it a bone of contention. We make it something that we fight about and argue about. There are Christian groups that say that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not really a Christian. And that you can identify someone who has the Spirit of God, based upon whether or not they talk in tongues. And if they don't, they're not part of the body of Christ. There have been groups of Christians throughout the years, and this is not something that was unique to the 20th century and the Azusa Street Revival, which began the Pentecostal movement in the 20th century. No, there have been periods of time throughout the history of the church when the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly tongues, have been lifted up as being of critical importance. And that if you don't have that gift, you don't have the presence of the Spirit. It was a problem even back during Paul's day. It's the reason why he said that I would rather speak one word in an intelligible tongue than 1,000 words and not have love. My brothers and sisters, the gift of tongues is an important gift because it enabled the people of God, the first disciples, the first apostles, it enabled them to speak the gospel, speak the good news, preach the message so that all could hear and understand. And it also was an important gift because it signified, it proved, it illustrated to the people who were listening, the people who were there, that this was an amazing, unusual event. And that in this miraculous event, God was present. They were amazed. We hear these Galileans speaking in the languages from people all over and even outside the empire. They speak in the languages of the world about Jesus, about the gospel, about the love of God. Surely God must be in this. They're proclaiming the love of God in multiple languages. Surely God must be in this. And then the church. The church takes that gift and perverts it and makes it a bone of contention, a point of argument. It's a means of grace that has been ruined, harmed, limited by the human politics of the church. Now, I do not have the gift of tongues. I speak several languages, but I do not have the spiritual gift of tongues. I have known people who do. My father was one. I can remember when I was a child, he's driving his car, we were going fishing somewhere, and I can remember my dad praying. And he would pray for a while, and then suddenly he would slip into a language that I didn't know. And I asked him later what he was doing, and he said he was praying. And the Holy Spirit was praying through him. One of the uses of tongues, one of the purposes of tongues, is to enable prayer beyond our conception, beyond our understanding. If we do not know for what to pray, for whom to pray, the Holy Spirit can pray through us. That was happening there. So not just proclaiming the gospel, although that's what we have going on in the Acts of the Apostles, but also prayer is a form through which tongues occur. One day, Dad and I had graduated from seminary, and Dad and I had gone up fishing on the Mountain Fork River. I was pastor at Segoville at the time, and this is towards the end of my dad's life, and I can remember I'm in the back of the canoe paddling, and Dad is in the front fishing, and as he's fly fishing up against the corner, we're talking. And then we're quiet for a while, and I hear Dad starting to pray something. And I knew what he was saying. I couldn't believe it, but I knew it, because what he was praying one of the Psalms in Hebrew. I think it was the 91st Psalm. And I remember saying, "Dad, where did you learn the 91st Psalm in Hebrew?" And Dad said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "You were just quoting portion of the 91st Psalm in Hebrew." I don't know. I didn't know what I was saying. I opened my mouth and the words came out. My dad had never studied Hebrew. My dad knew one foreign language. It was mathematics. I mean, he was good at that. He struggled with English. And yet he was praying a psalm, the 91st Psalm, in Hebrew. And I could understand it. It was one of those Pentecost moments for me when my soul became riveted and I realized God was present right there in our midst. As Dad fished and I paddled, and Dad quoted the 91st Psalm in Hebrew, something he had never learned. And we talked about it. And he said, I just felt compelled from inside to open my mouth, and these words tumbled out. And he spoke the word of God. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. But I heard it. I've had that experience a couple other times, but that's the one that rivets my mind and soul today. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes to each person differently. There are many ways to proclaim the gospel, many ways to live forth the gifts of the Spirit. And we are all called to live it. And we all have those spiritual gifts. The brilliance of God in the body of Christ, the beautiful glory of God in the body of Christ, is that each member of the body, from the least to the greatest, has a gift to give, has a gift to live, has the presence of God with them and within them to live through them. The brilliance of God, the beauty of God, the glory of God in the body of Christ is that within each person, within each member, is a gift of God to give to the whole, is a gift of God to live through the body for all. And each one of us has a gift of the Spirit, a gift of the presence of Almighty God. My brothers and sisters, I don't know what your gift may be. Each of us has a gift. I don't know what your gift may be. But whatever it is, I encourage you to open yourselves to the presence of God, to open yourselves to the Holy Spirit, to open yourselves to speak and to live and to proclaim the good news through word and deed. In the back-to-school program, we have an example of a kind of tongue where the body of Christ comes together to give out to others out of the love of God, out of the agape love of God, to give out to others clothing for school. In the food pantry, in the clothing pantry, we have a ministry, a kind of tongue in which through a deed, an act of love, we give to others. In prayer, we have a kind of tongue where the body of Christ gathers together to praise God, to pray for our brothers and sisters, and to share the joys that we have together. In reading the Scriptures, we have a beautiful tongue, for we receive through the reading of Scripture the beautiful Word of God. Through the singing of hymns, we have a kind of tongue in which we proclaim and praise God in song. In all that we do, in giving, we give of ourselves, we give of our tithes, we give of our offerings, we give of our thanksgiving as the Holy Spirit leads us. And in so doing, we have a kind of tongue, a word to proclaim. In all the means of grace, in all the ways that the Holy Spirit calls us to live, in all the powerful presence of God within us, we have a kind of tongue. Through our words and our deeds. So, my brothers and sisters, whatever gift you have received, whatever kind of tongue you have received, whatever kind of grace you have received, each and every one of you is called to give it, to live it, to proclaim it, to express it to all. On this, the birthday of the church, universal. On this, the birthday of the church, Catholic. On this, the birthday of the church, going back to the first Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, we hear the proclamation that salvation belongs to our God and who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. A message we are called to proclaim. A message we are called to live. A message we are called to share. A message we are called to give. We hear this proclamation that salvation belongs to God. We don't get to decide who gets to be in. We don't get to decide who has to stay out. That's up to God. We are called to open our arms, express the love of God, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and welcome all into the family of faith. Northgate's been good at that. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep proclaiming through word and deed in all these various kinds of tongues of service. Let us keep proclaiming in word and in deed this good news that salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Let us keep proclaiming it. Let us keep living it today and tomorrow and every day that we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word, by your grace upon grace, you set me free.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.